Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Love your neighbor as you have accepted and appropriated God's love to you. Otherwise, you have a blockage here. There's no outflow there. That's obvious because one demands the other.
On today's program, Dr. Olala concludes a two-part series about spirit-filled men and women. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 1997. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, Spirit-Filled Men and Women, Part 2.
1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye wives, or likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So the commandment there to dwell, that verb to dwell with them according to knowledge. That is saying you must make time. And let's just put this over off to the side as tools that would build our relationships. Time. The element of time. Dwell with them. That seemed like a strange command. You married her, now live with her. Not only at the same address, but at the same time as much as possible. Dwell with them. The element of time. What was true of the relationships, what had God built into the early system in Mosaic law? When a man married, what was he to do? According to Deuteronomy 24:5. Okay, he was to be free at home for 1 year and do nothing but what? Cheer up his wife. That's the actual wording in the King James text. He is to be free at home for 1 year. For what? To cheer up the wife which he hath taken. Time. You know what that says? Be free at home 1 year and do nothing but cheer up the wife. How would you like to have that as your only job for 1 year? Relationships didn't grow then like they do now. Basically, what would happen is mom and dad would say, it's about time for the lad to have a boy, a mate here, and they go to the mall with the camel, and boys praying and fasting at home, wondering what's coming home on that camel. I don't think, if you dug into Hebrew, it's exactly how it happened, but that it's generally the contrast that there was not a long dating period, and then there was not a long period of getting to know one another. Well, can you imagine the panic that would set in? 6 months in, she hasn't smiled yet. The bottom line is, time is demanded for the emotional stabilizing of the woman. There must be time. When will a woman first show signs of instability? When she does not think that her husband is spending enough time. Boy, it's a project that you have to work on. Off to this side, just put yourself little projects. What am I going to do to make sure that adequate time is there? When you are carrying an emotional load besides your time pressure and your time load, and your mind is hassling on all these stupid things that you hear, you have to become so focused and let God so undertake your emotion so that you are capable of giving yourself to your mate. The time is one thing, but what shape you're in during that time is another thing. Can we transfer the load? Can we shift the load from our shoulder to God's shoulder, which is casting all your care upon Him? For He careth for you. Got a call from a large church, very large church, that said, God laid in our heart to have you come for a weekend meeting with us. I said, well, it was a weekend and a couple days in next week. I said, no, let me check my... I didn't say that's full. I said, I have family written in there. They said, well, we've prayed. We really believe God wants to. I said, I have violated family priorities so many times in the past, I'm not going to do it. They said, well, would you pray? I said, I'll pray, but I'm not going to change my mind. So they called back a couple of days later. And they said, hey, we'll do you right. I know what they meant by do you right. I said, I just can't. You know, I haven't heard a peep from, they probably figured I went to a Gothard seminar, gone deeper life, and I'm shot for the ministry. I'm not worth a plug nickel in the ministry any longer. I haven't heard a boo from that operation for so. You know what I've discovered over the years? The people who use you cast you away when you're no longer usable to them. As long as you're going to a camp and you're giving them a week at a clip and you're giving them weekends and so on, hey, you're great. But the minute you say no, you're no good. So, remember we got a letter, I don't know if Dr. Vaughn is in here or not, got a letter from a pastor on the west side of Wisconsin. We had to say no to a meeting. Remember he wrote, he said, when you get to a point where you don't think you're too much of a big shot to come to my church, you write to me. I thought, big shot, oh Lord, that is so not my heart. You know what I'm battling? I've got to have time. But then when you say, I'm going to make time, then you're getting lambasted from somebody else. You're a big shot now. What am I trying to say? The reality of ministries is that we battle. We battle things and Satan would come and bang every little thing. Every little thing blows me out of the water anymore. But then I have to go back, okay, I'm going to focus. I'm going to, because what Satan wants to do, Satan wants to blast us, blow us out of the water as staff people, as staff members. And we have to be wise, we have to be discerning. But at the same time, thank the Lord for a wife God has given to me. I'd not be in the ministry without Charlene, and I never would have stayed in the ministry had God not given me her character as a mate. Why? Because it's been too tough. I think it would have been different. Now, the time that is together is crucial. I better move on from here. Secondly, live with her according to knowledge. According to knowledge, let me just put this, knowledge is gained through talking. You have insight about her. Not every wife is the same. Not every woman is the same. Dwell with her according to knowledge. Know her. Talk with her. What if you say, he won't listen? He will not listen. There's been a wife calling Charlene in panic, wanting to come for an appointment. And I said, I'll talk with both of you. I don't want a wife coming in and unloading. I want a husband and wife there together. I think it's a bad mistake when a man listens only to one. If it's the husband coming in, where's the wife? If it's the wife coming in, where's the husband? Because you're going to get an emotional report from both directions. Now, Charlene could talk and encourage this lady some, but really her contention is he doesn't think there's a problem, and I'm ready to break the relationship. In fact, she said she was on her way to the hospital this past summer. She had to go in for something minor. She said, in my mind, I was going to open the van door and bail out. And she said, I'd be out of everybody's face, including his. These are people who want to be serving God. And difficulties come in. But when a man says there is not a problem, then he has to come to the point to realize that if she says there is a need and if she says there's a difficulty, then it is worth knowing, taking time to know her and talk and listen. There's a great ministry in listening in our relationships. Know about her. Dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor. Consider precious. Let's just put this down as the tool of tenderness. Be tender, thoughtful. Notes. You know, over down through the years, you've all had little signals of communicating. Used to be three taps or three winks. That means I love you. Loving, tenderness, tender. But you know, that's not our norm, is it? Our norm is if things aren't getting done, just thunder. Do some thundering rather than tenderness, thoughtfulness. And sometimes in the heat of battle, in the heat of pressure, you have those things. I think of the upcoming athletic season. Boy, you pray for the coaches because they, what do I do, take my family on a bus? Do I? No, I can't because they're going to miss that. If I do such and such, are they going to miss that? And hey, they have to come up with all kinds of inventive ways to make sure that there is time to be done and to show tenderness. And sometimes just little notes can be a help. Or, hey, let's go out to eat. If $6 is worth a ton of communication of tenderness, to me, that's a good $6 invested. McDonald's, you could get away cheaper. It's not the meal. It's the thought that is behind it. That's why we like to sneak out sometimes for breakfast. Not because we don't have cereal at home. It's not because... No, Charlene said, well, you don't need to do this. Well, I know that. I'm not being told I have to do it. That is, I want to do it. Lead her. Giving honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel. Be a testimony. Be a testimony. In what ways can you be a testimony? Well, be a testimony in prayer. Be a testimony in reading. Be a testimony in witnessing. Be a testimony in things that would be fitting to the Christian walk. Make sure that those things are evident. But leading, being a testimony to that weaker vessel. Doesn't mean a helpless vessel, but a weaker vessel. Then number five here, laugh with her. Laugh with her. Learn to be tickled together. Sometimes you just enjoy laughter. But you learn the factor of laughter. So these basic tools, what projects could you make? And then let's go on quickly down here to the real trouble area. Some of you didn't like that because you already think that's the way I am. It's always the woman's problem. No. Then the woman is commanded to be spirit-filled. Wives are instructed to submit. And I define submission as ducking so God can hit your husband. If you are married to a dunderhead, don't forget it was his brain that picked you. So be very careful about how openly you express his mental incapacity. Submission does not put the woman in a lesser place, but in a special place. Because the problem is so grave in this generation that the whole structure of authority is being torn apart, where they say the curse of woman having to submit went with the curse. The cross removed that curse. Now there is no submission commanded. The wife is not to submit because the cross removed that. Therefore, women are not restricted from preaching. They're not restricted from pastoring. And it's coming out of so-called evangelical circles. Not fundamental circles, but evangelical circles. So how then is a woman to show this submission? If a spirit-filled husband is to love, how is a spirit-filled woman to function? I probably ought to take a few minutes here to talk at least a very quick version of conditional love. We were One of the greatest frustrating things to me in dealing in counseling years ago, I am not a counselor, but I have done some forced counseling over the years. One of the patterns that I saw that frustrated me so was people, I called them lackos. They lacked assurance of salvation. So I saw a pattern of people who could not get stability in any way. And I saw a problem of seeing God's love as being a conditional love rather than an unconditional love. And we get our first view of God from our family. One of the great curses in our society today is that you don't have a large percentage of normal families. The inner city difficulty that they're trying to solve by new buildings and social programs, the people what did they do? This guy in New York that was arrested for graffiti. You know how they solved that? Don't punish him, hire him. Let's hire him to do that. Well, come to think of it, that wasn't probably, if he thinks it's work, he's not going to be out there with that can. Maybe that was their logic, but I'm not sure. I know they don't have checkbooks in Mexico anymore for the reason they could not make a check big enough to sign with a spray can. So there might be a factor in that. So they took this guy with this graffiti. How are you going to solve? Pay the guy to do graffiti for you? No, the problem is you don't even have a normal family structure left anymore. How are they going to get an image of God? How are they going to get a proper picture of God? And normally that picture comes through the Father. And what are the four kinds of love? There's eros, love which is erotic, which is a right love in marriage. Eros is a physical, erotic love, which is a love that is commanded in marriages. Be ravished with her love, not mechanical. Then there is phileo love. It's a brotherly love. Then there's agape love, which is an unconditional love. Then you have storgos love. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the prefix ah is there, ah storgos, without natural affection. And that is with family love. So you have eros, phileo, and storgos, which are basically conditional loves, and then you have agape love, which is an unconditional love. So in marriage, then you have, or in the family, you have the first picture of what God is like. And if it's a conditional love, it is doing equals acceptance. If I do, I am accepted. If I do not do, I am not accepted. So you have doing equals acceptance in that conditional love. Then you go out to school. How do teachers generally love? Doing equals acceptance. You do well, you are accepted. You do not well, you are not accepted. If you do not well, you are a reject. So doing equals acceptance. Then you go to peers. How are you accepted with peers? Do equals acceptance. If you don't do, you are not accepted. Then you go out to get a job and you have a boss. Again, doing equals acceptance. Then you meet a mate. He says, I love you. She says, you're right. I bet you sure have funny ways of showing it. Right. Then come up here to God, and you know what is attributed to God? There's a fear in relationship to God because you have never done enough to be accepted by God. And you attribute to God these conditional loves. You do not see God as an unconditional lover. You see him only as conditionally loving. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love does what? Casteth out fear, because fear has torments. He who feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him. He first loved us. You know what an emotional wreck does? An emotional wreck reverses that. God loves me because I first love him, then he loves me. No, the Bible says we love him. Secondly, because he first loved me. I mean, how do I comprehend God's love? How do I understand God's love? Except to believe by faith what the Scripture says. We undeserving, loved by the Eternal One, the Almighty God. But in that type of relationship, there's a fear and there is an emotional problem. When it gets into marriage, and if the husband is not picturing love that is unconditional, the husband will love if the wife performs. If she keeps a clean house, if she is good at the checkbook, she is loved if she does this, she is loved if she does that. But then she is blasted if she doesn't. Then again, she gets this fear relationship, because can I go to God? Can I really trust God? Because that picture gets fixed in the mind. Then when it comes over here to the practical relationship, I make my surroundings equal to my attitude about myself. I'll reject myself. But I show it by associating with someone who is below me. Someone who says, I need you. But will reject someone above who says, you need something. If somebody is rejecting love, then they start rejecting themselves. If someone implies that they have a problem, their mind cannot handle it. They attach themselves to people who are saying, I need you. If I can get someone who desperately needs me, then I will feel like I should be loved because I'm giving out enough to be loved. Then when it gets down here, there is a rejection of love. Someone will attempt to show love, but this person will get in a circle. Love attempts will come, but love attempts will be rejected. Why would a person in this state not accept love? Why would a person in this kind of a condition not accept love? Why would a person in this condition not accept love? They feel they cannot meet the condition of acceptance. So they say, if I let that person into my life, I have to reciprocate. I don't know how. I don't know how to reciprocate. They'd rather be on the giving end, not the receiving end, because they would not know how to accept love. I can't let that person into my life. Person wants to show love. I can't let that person in. In the building of a relationship, if a person is insecure, whether it's a guy or a girl, and they fear being rejected eventually, they'll make a way to break up that relationship because they know they're going to be rejected eventually anyway. I might just as well make it happen now. And then, and by the way, what are we commanded? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. How do I love others? Only as I have accepted and appropriated God's love to me. That doesn't mean I am to be madly in love with myself and that I am to become a positive thinker and I am to go to bed with Gothard self-image notes and then I will become a very secure person. No, you accept and appropriate God's love to you. You will be a channel of God's love, not the source of love. You are the channel. You cannot be the source of agape love. God is. You are simply the conduit of agape love. Love your neighbor as you have accepted and appropriated God's love to you. Otherwise, you have a blockage here. There's no outflow there. That's obvious because one demands the other. So there's rejection of love, and then they become loners. I call them turtles. They stick their head out long enough to strike, and then they draw back in, and then you're pounding. You cannot get in. Loners. Then there's bitterness. And against whom do you think the bitterness is directed? Whenever I've counseled this, I say, no, are you? Yes, I'm bitter. And they usually say, you have described my life. I say, now against whom do you think you're bitter? And they'll always say, God. You know why? Because they feel cheated by God. God gave you a perfect circumstance. Yes, God gave you a perfect situation. And God gave you this and God gave you that. And so they get this idea that everyone else has an ideal situation. And the bitterness that Dr. Bond has been dealing with oftentimes comes from this years and years and years of never seeing God's love in a proper light. So we as men have a grave responsibility to try to show the pattern of God's love in that. Now, how is a wife to show her spirit filling? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, and I'll quickly finish this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, likewise. Now, you go back to find in chapter 2 what the likewise means. And what do you find in chapter 2? You find the suffering of Christ. How did he suffer? Name some of the ways that Christ suffered. What? He suffered unjustly. He suffered patiently. Silently. Why did he suffer? For our healing, that we might be saved. Did he deserve what he received? No. Did he do anything to deserve what he received? No. So, likewise, ye wives. Wives love to hear. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. But they don't like to hear. Wives suffer, even as Christ also suffered. Because that's a command. Likewise, ye wives, just like Christ suffered for our redemption, so ye wives be willing to suffer so that your husbands can change. What is the greatest agent of change for a husband? The wife. So a woman has to be responsible for her action. Be in subjection. She is commanded to be in subjection. Now that does not make her lesser. In that big picture, she is fulfilling her role. It doesn't mean that she is lesser in essence. She is given an assigned function. Essence and function have to be separated at this point. And it's, in essence, they're equal. In function, they are separate because God has given separate functions. He has to see right action. What are some actions? Well, some of the actions are making sure that the meals are done, making sure that the house is done, making sure that things are taken care of, making sure that he is listened to, etc. Proper action.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today, Dr. Les Olala, with part 2 of Spirit-Filled Men and Women. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.